Morning, everybody. Welcome to ASAP meeting. We are going to begin our discussions with a presentation on disclosure initiative, on cash flow. I'll give a call to Christine Robinson.
I'll then pass it very quickly over to Andrew Leonard because I think, as detailed in the cover paper, the work on cash flows, which is feeding into the disclosure initiative, is being led by the UKFRC. So Andrew's been leading the work in this area. So he'll take you through the presentation.
Okay, thanks very much indeed, Hans and Christy. We distributed, to give you some background, the paper that the IESB discussed in October. I don't think it should be assumed that IESB has made any decisions on that paper, but it does kind of inform the direction of travel that we're going down. All the views are obviously very tentative. We know there are some big issues to look at down the line, and that might make us come back and reconsider. For the moment, we haven't thought about banks and other financial institutions, for example. We haven't really done a lot of work as to what are the sections, because this is work towards a discussion paper for proposals to improve IS7. Kind of our working assumption is that the sections will be broadly similar: operating, financing, and investing. So what I thought I would like to do, really, to use this session most productively, is really to seek your views and seek your help on some of the trickier points that arise under that direction of travel, and we'll come to those in just a second. I'd just like to start by going through, I'm on about slide four now, and just give you a very brief overview of the sort of underlying philosophy that comes out of the October paper. The key point is really that the cash flow statement should summarise movements in cash, or cash and cash equivalents, perhaps. And it does that. The primary objective is to assist an assessment of liquidity. One has to be very careful about choice of terms, of course, because it's not the only source of information about liquidity. You can get quite a lot of information about liquidity and changes in it from the statement of financial position. And one of the key elements seems to be the reconciliation of operating cash flow with operating profit. And that's something that you generally get out at the moment where the indirect method is used. Our outreach to investors confirms that that is very highly valued. And it's valued for two reasons. One is that it gives a different perspective on performance. The primary vehicle for communicating information on performance is, of course, the profit or loss account, but the cash flow statement helps illuminate some of the dimensions of that and gives an insight into the quality of earnings, which everybody pronounces as if that actually means something very specific. I'm not entirely clear what it does mean, but I'll pass over that point. The other thing that the reconciliation gives you is it gives you information on the management of working capital, which people value because they think that your trends in working capital are highly informative. They can provoke questions as to why certain movements have arisen. If inventory has gone up sharply, is that because you haven't sold anything, or are you expecting huge sales in the future, for example? And so it sort of responds, if you like, to a stewardship objection. Objective. So moving on to that, to towards the specifics, the three issues that I thought we should, I would like to focus on, are just listed on slide five: expenditure on PPE, or what I persevere in calling fixed assets; the presentation of interest, which has turned out to be slightly more interesting than. No pun intended, slightly more interesting than might have seemed on the surface, and how we get into the detail of line items. So moving on to slide six and the first of those issues, what the paper suggests is that expenditure on PPE should form part of operating activities, because after all, you do spend money on PPE in order to use them in your operations. We know, of course, in the cash flow statement you have to add back depreciation. if you think of a car rental firm, you'd expect depreciation to be quite a large number, but clearly unless it spends money on new vehicles, it's not going to stay in business very long. We do, however, suggest that it should be separately disclosed. And that, interestingly, brings us quite a step towards how many analysts teach other analysts to use the cash flow statement. They say, what you're really interested in is free cash flow. And a very common metric for that is to take cash flow from operating activities and then deduct expenditure on investment. The snag with that, of course, is that not all investment is simply replacing the stuff that you're using in today's operations. Some of it may be investing in new activities. And IAS 7 already recognises that because it encourages disclosure of the split between that which is simply maintaining your capacity and that which is expanding it. So we have to consider whether we are content with that in this context. Could we make a robust distinction that would be suitable for an accounting standard? And perhaps one ought to bear in mind that it seems to me that, I mean, I hate writing accounting standards that are with abuse in mind, as it were, or at the forefront, but nonetheless, there's going to be there's a pretty strong incentive to report expenditure as investing rather than as operating, because it would increase your cash flow from operating activities, which sounds like it's a positive signal. And reporting it as investing sounds like you're optimistic about the future, because you're only investing if you expect future profits. So what should we do about that if we do decide that spending on PPE is in operating activities? What do we do about cash paid to acquire a business? Is that different? The paper sort of suggests that it is, and so that would be reported as investing. But an ASAF member pointed out to me that perhaps seems slightly odd, because after all, the returns that you make from buying a new subsidiary will typically be reported within operating activities. So on slide 7, I summarise what seem to me to be some of the questions you might like to discuss in this context. Do you agree that cash paid for PPE should be in operating? Should we try to distinguish replacement and expansion? And if so, how? And should we consider saying, well, anything, you know, even the purchase of a subsidiary should be within operating? And I think the corollary of that is that investing would be restricted to things that you buy purely for a financial return rather than for things that you're going to be operating. So I look forward to hearing your views.
Andrew, just before you get to your hard questions, I've got an easy one. On slide 4, this statement's pretty hard. Statement of cash flows should summarise cash receipts and payments.
Yep.
Sounds fair. Then it says to assist in the assessment of liquidity, and I've never understood how it really helps much with the liquidity assessment. I go to the balance sheet for liquidity assessment.
I agree, Ian, and you know, I think I said that information on liquidity is contained in a balance sheet. I think the statement of cash flow assists by highlighting the amount of cash or cash and cash equivalents and changes in them, and how they have been driven by operating activities, by investing and financing, and so forth.
Years ago, I used to be a partner in Silicon Valley, and you would use the statement of cash flow to understand the cash burn rate. So you had a company that in the balance sheet may look, because they've just raised substantial capital. But when you look at a historical use of cash from operations, you can forecast the cash burn rate. Then you have to forecast, will they be able to raise capital in sufficient time to cover their cash burn rate. So to some degree, it does help on forecasting potential liquidity issues. But your current position would be in the statement of financial position.
Diesel? We had that debate in our discussion, and we thought that the blunt statement that helps with liquidity doesn't really work. Liquidity prospectively has to come from somewhere else. You can derive it from that and do all sorts of things, but it's not the major source for your prospective liquidity. And of course, so far we've blended out the debate, which is slightly sidetracked, of cash and cash equivalents, but maybe we have that at another stage or somewhere else and concentrate now on your question.
Yeah.
And of course, all these questions remind those who are old enough to have been around of the financial statement presentation project and our views on how to put the different pots side by side. And we seem to remember that you can have all sorts of views on what you put in operating and what you put in investing and what you put in financing. And there is, of course, a strong argument to have that aligned between the balance sheet and the income statement and the cash flow. But if you start this from the cash flow here, what are you going to do about the income statement afterwards? Because there is obviously a link, and this link was not the most welcome link how you presented it under the FSP project. You can restart it, and you maybe have to, and maybe now, but you cannot just take this piece out there and not look left or right.
Clement?
Similarly, I think the concern expressed by members in our region is that they're not sure whether the objective is to revisit the definition given by IA7 on investing, financing, and operating activities without making sure what's the objective. The definition itself give quite a good prescription of what should be under different categories. Give you an example, like PPE, you know, they already give a very clear definition of PPE, a long-term asset that will give give rise to economic benefit, crossing, straddling over different accounting periods. With that, whether you can still, you know, sort of call cash investment on PPE and operating expenses, I think, you know, the limitation is there with that kind of definition. I think the priority is you have to revisit the definition first, and is that what we want? If that is what we want, then I think the logic follows that you know, all the this review of different activities, whether it should be still maintained or continue to be categorized under the present majority method, is the right one or not.
Yukio?
Yeah, before discussing, you know, details of the cash flow statement, I'd like to talk about the objectives of the statement of cash flows. The conceptual framework of paragraph OB710 already recognized that financial statements on the basis of accrual accounting provide a better basis for assessing and reporting entities past and future performance than information theory about the cash receipt and the payment during the period. So this means that income statement provides more useful information for assessing the entity's past and future performance than cash flow statement. Accordingly, we think that cash flow statement should be seen as supplementary information to accrual based financial information. So given this supplemental nature of cash flow statement, we believe that it's important to identify and prioritize what should be achieved with the cash flow statement rather than trying to address all the potential information needs of users. Accordingly, we think that it's at most important first to consider what the objectives of cash flow statements are, and if there are conflicting objectives, what should be priorities. When we reached out to our stakeholders, we are informed that characteristic of cash position, including the restriction there of the reporting period and information to help users assess the amount of free cash flows, would be the most important. So therefore, we encourage to ISB to focus on these objectives rather than trying to explore the issues about classification of expenditures regarding PPEs and interest expenses.
Are you saying that when the primary purpose is to give insight in free cash flows?
Yes.
Then perhaps it's not so important where it's coming from, or is that from which part of the income statement it's coming from?
Yeah, it comes from, you know, the cash flow statement, but you know, the I think, you know, we should, you know, focus about you know, such, you know, the amount, you know, free cash flow, you know, information.
Leave it alone. Just now we have information. Yeah.
You're fine.
So you're on. You need to in order.
First of all, many thanks.
Push
to
the button again. Push it again.
Push
it
again?
Yeah, push
right.
It. Yes, no, stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, okay, it's fine. Okay, thank you. Don't do that. First of all, many thanks to Andrew. I think FRC had done a very good job on this project, because everyone knows that there are weakness on current cash flow statement, and especially in practice, what kind of cash flow should be included in operating activities or should be included in the investment activities. Actually, there's divergent opinion there. So I think the issues addressed by Andrew, I think, very clear and very meaningful for us to explore further on this project. The point, the consensus we would like to raise, that I think it's very similar to Liso and Clement said, that we are thinking that, first of all, without you know, revisiting to the balance sheet or the income statement, whether this cash flow statement improvement could be, you know, could be separately done, because the people or for the accountant, when they are prepare cash flow statement, they always look at the balance sheet and and the comprehensive income statement first to identify what kind of cash flow come from what kind of assets. So the clearly defined the assets, whether those assets are from the, you know, operating activities or that, whether they are, those assets are from investment activities, and then those cash flow, you know, will bring in different categories of the cash flow statements. So currently, if we look at balance sheet statement, there are some kind of investment assets there. So whether those assets should be the cash flow, if without changing the definition of the categories of balance as assets, the cash flow, you know, contributed by those assets could be directly to be classified to the operating activities, something like that. Also, actually, the improvement to the cash flow statement actually very closely related to the definition of operating profit. But currently, there are no clearly defined definition on operating profit. That means what kind of profits are from operating activity, what kind of profit from investment activity. So we are still thinking that if we need to improve cash flow statement, whether we should still revisit the financial position statement and the comprehensive income statement. But that will be a big job, you know. ISB had did this job several years ago and then stopped. I think that's a very tough job. But the concept at that time, I think we have discussed that concept very clearly. But how can we balance, how can we try to find an appropriate solution? I think maybe if we want to do that,
maybe we should have to revisit whole project as financial statement presentation, not only just limited on cash flow statement.
Alexandru?
I didn't find a consensus about this presentation of cash flow on operation or investing. But I'd like to mention here, normally I did not bring things that I didn't find a consensus, but what I found was that a strong consensus that the statement of cash flow does not do his job well. That is strong consensus. So even in some sectors, the financial sector, I sent this by email and tried to discuss with some people. Then I talked to people and say, well, this could easily be a footnote. Mm-hmm. Give me a footnote explaining what happened, because really, and I talked to a few CFOs that did not remember to have a single question of statement of cash flow in the last 10 years. Say, well, I never heard anything about it. Here in the US, in Europe, doing roadshows, talking about companies that are listed abroad, so they have exposure to it. So it surprised me a lot. So I was used to look at the statement of cash flow to find, as you said, a lot of information, cash burning ratios, et cetera, et cetera. But for my surprise, I found this, I talked to the president of the investment, the organization that comprised the analysts, and say, well, it does not. It was not on the questions, okay? Yeah. So as I think something that I believe it's something that I should mention, a strong criticism.
Did they say what they did look at to look at free cash? Because they do look at free cash.
That's one of the things. We are not concerned about past cash flows, or concerned about expected cash flows. And some companies try to do that on pro forma. So that's one something that arises quite frequently. We are not concerned about past free cash flows. We are concerned about future free cash flows, and to forecast future free cash flows, it's better to look at the income statement, to the statement of cash flows.
Well, that would be a good solution, just to get rid of it.
But this is something that come out not more than once, that we would be much happier to have a footnote explain what happened to our cash flows during this period, instead of this statement, for the sake of simplicity. He ranked last position. So even the changes in equity book, people thought that provides better information. So I was very surprised by it.
Anna?
Yes, thank you.
Thus far, nobody has been trying to answer your question, and
I gave up hope yet.
Yes, we also believe that first we should look at the definitions of investing and operating, and then see if they have to be revisited, and then see if all the financial presentation, not only of cash flows but also in balance sheet and comprehensive income, should be changed. But according to the definitions as they are now, we believe that the presentation of cash flows of PPA is correct. It works.
Linda?
Thanks. So I want to build off what Alessandro has said, because that was my first reaction to this as well. What seems to be pervasive about this particular issue and about this particular statement is that I think in different industries, unlike, you know, having, you know, sector neutral stuff, but different industries look at the cash flow statement differently, and therefore what they've done is they've adapted their messaging accordingly. So I also had experience in high tech where, for instance, if you're a high tech company in startup phase, cash burn rate is absolutely everything. I agree. But if you're a high tech company in trouble, cash burn rate is also very important. And they look at the accruals, and the analysts look at the accruals and try to figure out how much time you got to live before you have to go out and try to get more cash.
You're back to your balance.
Exactly. So what it seems like for me, Andrew, in terms of PP&E, you have to think about the fact that if you're saying replacement of PP&E is an operating item, well, is it replacement for what the business that you do today? And what if you're adding new product lines or you're building out a different strategy? Is that also operating?
Yeah.
Or is that investing for the future, using the word investing slightly differently? So that's sort of a partial answer to your question. The point is that I think you really need to stand back and ask yourself what you really want to get out of this statement, and it's a really hard question to answer because it's so different by different industries. And it begs the question, you know, I don't know, I'm a big believer that you got three statements because I'm old, and so I think you've got three statements. But
I was too.
Okay, there you go. I know. But, I mean, I also worked in the financial services industry and pissed my CFO off every quarter because, yes, I said, yes, we have to do a cash flow statement. You can't get away with a cash flow statement. I think you really need to fundamentally stand back and ask yourselves what we're trying to achieve with it, and is it as good as it's going to get, or can we improve it? But it's a fairly complex issue, and you have to ask yourself, what are you trying to do here?
You're not all that old, Linda. I remember when there weren't cash flow statements.
Well, there you go.
Mm. And those were better days, undoubtedly. Russ.
So with respect to Andrew's question on slide 7, the one I wanted to focus on was the separation of cash flows for the acquisition of PP&E is whether or not it's a replacement or an expansion. In the U.S. right now, there are a number of questions that have been raised to the FASB about statement of cash flows. Specifically, should you or must you separate cash flows between the three categories? And I know we'll get to zero coupon bonds, but in the U.S., interest is considered operating and repayment of debt is considered a financing. So the question, it's the simple one that everyone can fully understand, is do you have to bifurcate those cash flows when you actually mature and pay off the maturity? Well, I agree that what investors do in looking at PP&E is they want to know what is the cash outflow for replacement of PP&E because they're trying to understand what is the recurring cash use and what is the recurring cash source. And they would prefer to have a split between operating cash flow for what is replacement and perhaps investing cash flows for what is expansion. What I worry about is the ability to determine that. And if you look at, suppose you're in a manufacturing facility and you want to enter into a new computer system to make you more efficient, or is that a replacement, is an expansion? And you'll have to then answer, do you do it on a predominance mode or do you separate the cash flows? And I can tell that today in the U.S. it's very difficult for people to answer that. And we've gotten maybe 40 questions. We've narrowed down to 9 and we're struggling with that. And I think we're going to come down as the best way to do it is to do the predominance of the cash flow and then put the transaction in one of the three categories and disclose it, not to separate it. So in the end, I agree with what you're trying to do theoretically. I'm not sure it'll actually work operationally.
Yeah, I agree with you, Russ. Instinctively, I would go for the most restrictive approach, which is that investing should only be for investments of a financial return, because I think it's, you know, almost impossible to distinguish replacement and expansion. But you could also think, given the crudeness of the statements of cash flows, do you need all these subdivisions? All it really wants to do is to give an overview of free cash flows, for which I think it can be useful. Mm-hmm. Clement?
Yeah, on the question of replacement versus expansion of PPE, one of our members also commented that nowadays it's really rare that you can find a pure case of replacement, because when you talk about replacement, there's a lot of technology advancement and you know whether that element should be regarded as expansion or not is also very highly questionable. So theoretically it might work that way, but in practice it's very difficult to differentiate those two.
Thank you. Andrew, could you tell me how strong the investors would like to have this kind of information separated? Information, the maintenance and expansion.
I think if they were able to get it and if it were credible to them, then they would be delighted. I think many of them realise that actually, for some of the reasons we've just heard, I mean, point that's been made is that even if you replace a truck, then probably the new truck is slightly more fuel efficient than the old one. So you could say there's an there's an element of improvement even in that replacement. It's not just a replacement. So maybe they would say that, maybe they would accept that it can't be given to them in a way that they would find credible. And that may be why can't do much better than IAS 7 does at the moment, which is simply to say, encourage people to discuss the issue and to give some kind of an insight into what's going on.
As Ross said, theoretically it is correct, but operationally it's not easy to make this kind of standards. But a few days ago, we had the kind of investors, we invited many investors. They are saying if their financial statement is not useful for their uses, then they are going to ignore our financial account information. So even though that's difficult to implement, develop some specific standards to keep those investors in our area turf, then we need to provide more useful information they would like to have. So that's the another objective of our the standard sector.
Okay, so I don't think we answered your question, Andrew. I did, but
yeah. No, I think we've had some very interesting views.
Do you want to talk again? Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
With regard to the question on slide 7, yes, if we want to revisit the cash flow statement, we agree that the PPE should be presented as the cash flows from operating activities. But in practice, we agree that I think we don't need to reclassify or distinguish between replacement expenditure and expansion, because it's practice, it's very difficult to identify different categories. With regard to the investing, we believe that they should be restricted to purchase investments for certain. But here you say that should be restricted to purchase of investment for a financial return. We're not sure that financial return, first of all, it's actually also should be clearly defined what's the meaning of financial return. Also, we think that maybe most of the investment is for financial return. But however, in some cases, maybe there are other forms of return which we purchase investment we want to reach. For example, if we look at the current IFRS 10, investment on subsidiaries, there should be the investment activities. But there is another term, variable return, try to identify what kind of investment should be regarded as, in an entity should be regarded as an investment in subsidiaries. But if we look at the definition of variable reforms or description of variable return, there are a lot of different forms of return, not only just limited to financial return. There are a lot of non-financial return there, but the activity should be, I think, should be the investment activities. So I think we should clearly revisit, and to clearly define what's the meaning of investment in investing, especially the objective of investment maybe not only limited to financial return.
Okay. Chris?
Just to reiterate what's been said before, I think the really key issue is what's your objective with this statement and whether it should be a reconciliation or not. Because basically, if you come back and you do believe that liquidity is the most important objective of what you're trying to get across, then I'm not sure that operating, financing and investing are your best categories to actually do that. And you might be able to actually focus on, well, what's actually being my liquidity management, which might be financing and some investing, and then the rest you could have different categories there. But But on the other hand, some of the feedback that we had was that people really saw it, funnily enough, not as so much a focus on what happened in the performance statement, but what was actually explaining what happened in your balance sheet. Mm-hmm. And if you take that focus, then you wouldn't be splitting your PP&E out. You would be leaving it exactly where it is. So I think, again, just reiterating, key point is what's the objective of this statement, and then that will really drive where everything else comes from.
I didn't understand the second part of what you were saying, so...
Well, I think IFRIC had also had a bit of a go at some of the cash flow analysis and had said basically investing should be only movements in things which were recognised assets. And so if you take that principle, what you're really doing is saying the cash flow statement is explaining movements in your balance sheet rather than movements in your performance statement. You can agree or disagree, but it just comes back to...
It's a good point if you are tackling liquidity, which again I'd question, but if that's what you really think you're doing, then you should be referring it back to your balance sheet. Right?
Yeah. Yukio?
Yes, with respect to the line item disclosure on the slide 12, it may be worthwhile considering whether to require them on a selected basis, but...
Sorry, Yukio, we aren't there yet, are we?
No, we're not.
No. Okay, so sorry. I suggest you continue because we have a slide left.
Okay. I'm aware of the time, so I'll try to be as brief as possible, but thanks to Russ for foreshadowing the problem of interest. It's an area where IAS 7 gives you a straight choice, effectively. Interest can be either in operating or not. And so if you're thinking about how to improve a standard, then looking at an option like that and deciding what's the right answer sounds a fairly straightforward kind of approach. But as you dig into it, then you find that it's perhaps slightly more complex than it seems. And the example of a zero coupon bond illustrates that. When you repay, during a zero coupon bond's life, obviously interest is being accrued in the P&L account, but there are no cash flows to report. There's only one cash flow that happens on maturity, and you can say, well, some of that is principal and some of that is interest. It's not entirely clear how informative that is, actually. I mean, does it matter whether the bond was issued 3 years ago or 10 years ago? But you would get very different amounts of interest on those two redemptions. So perhaps from a cash flow side, the important thing is to say, well, we've actually had to have a cash outflow for servicing our debts of the total amount, and one may be less interested in going any further. But then if you move on to slide 9, you see that we've sort of said, well, fair enough, payments to in respect of debt sound pretty much like financing, and perhaps we're not too interested in whether it's interest or not. But then we do have liabilities which seem to be more of an operating nature. Should we be trying to isolate interest on those? And there it not only seems operationally very difficult, but the usefulness of the information seems to be reduced. But we clearly wouldn't want to report, for example, cash flow spent on carrying out your obligations under warranties to be reported within financing. And that's what led us to the conclusion that maybe those should be operating. And the last bullet point on slide 9 is there to illustrate, I think, the difficulty of the issue, because you might say, well, how about payments to trade creditors? They could be on deferred terms, and therefore there's an interest element going through the income statement. Would those also be operating? And I guess the logic of where we've got to at the moment would say yes, but we recognise that you could equally well say, well, if you're buying on deferred terms, then there's a financing element, and that should be in financing. So with that, hand over for your views on reporting interest.
Sorry, but I'll go back just for a second on the question on PP&E you had as the last, and no one alluded to that so far. Cash consideration to acquire a business should be in investing. I mean, do you really want to have form of a substance, mm-hmm. and each PP&E dressed up as a business you would then put in investing. I don't think that's necessarily the obvious solution, but whatever. Just to reiterate, we haven't got a clear view there. And my other example on the interest would be, of course, the pension accrual. What do you do with that? There's clearly quite a bit of interest financing in there. On the other hand, to put the pension totally into financing, I guess, would go against other considerations. And then we're again into splitting, and I don't think that's the most obvious way either.
Russ?
Yeah, on the topic on slide 9, cash flows relating to debt should be classified as financing. I agree with that. In the U.S. right now, it's considered operating, although we've recently been working on a project to improve the financial statements for not-for-profits, where the board has concluded that for a not-for-profit, it should go into financing. The reason it's only for not-for-profit, that happened to be the specific scope of the project. So I think the new thinking at the board is to put interest within financing. I think on your other aspects, I agree that the interest associated with that would probably go to operating liabilities, because I think in a lot of cases it is because of an improvement we want to make to the performance statement. So I'm not sure that the counterparty actually views some of the cash that they're receiving, whether it's the provision for their minor environmental cleanup or something like that, as interest. But rather, because it's a discounted liability, we've created an interest expense in the income statement that then needs to be reconciled. So that's why I'm okay with the distinction between some interest is reflected in financing and some interest is reflected in operating. In essence, you're tying the classification of the income statement to really what you've done in the classification of the statement of cash flows to what you've done in the income statement. So I like this thought process.
I think the will is still, you know, sort of going back to the definition of different activities. The first question, cash flow relating to that should be classified as financing. I think it all goes back to how you define, you know, sort of financing activities to start with, and on the operating sort of profit operating activities. I think there's also another will, you know, sort of expressed that. Instead of using operating activities as the default, one should, you know, sort of proactively define operating activities and try to, you know, sort of map out what items should be categorized under operating activities rather than using it as a default after what's been left over by the other categories. Anna?
Yes, I think for zero coupon bond, the separation between principal and interest is not very relevant from a cash flow perspective. So we believe that it should not be separated. And in relation to the cash flows relating to operating liabilities, we believe that they should stay in the operating cash flow.
Okay.
I actually had a question for you, Andrew. It was just something that didn't quite come out of your paper. How do you see something like rental on investment property actually being classified? Is that an operating or an investing? Because if you sort of follow through the arguments, I think you'd probably end up putting it into investing, which obviously would be quite a substantial change in thinking.
I suspect that's right. I can't say it's an issue that I've reached even a tentative view on, but that's certainly an interesting question to think about.
And just as an observation, I think it picks up on Liesl's point. I think the challenge is how you relate financing back to your performance statement as well, and at the moment there's really mixed treatment as to how people put interest into financing expenses and what they actually do with the discount elements that Russ was talking about. So I think somehow you need to be able to reconcile the two.
Okay.
Well, so I move on to the last major issue, which is relatively easy. It's all about what I've described as line items, for want of a better name. You'll recall that the financial statement presentation project proposed a requirement that not only would there be a reconciliation of profit to cash flow from operating activities, which is what you get from the indirect method, but that a direct method of cash flow should be required. We've rather sort of sidestepped that debate because for a number of reasons, but one of them is that it seems to be very much about prescribing how you do the arithmetic. What seems to be more important is exactly what information should be in the financial statements. And that seems to be particularly the case when you learn that the direct method cash flow statement is often prepared using the so-called indirect direct method. And therefore, it's not really a distinction between the two types of preparation. It's really what information do we need. And the distinguishing feature traditionally associated with direct method cash flow is that you get an awful lot more line items potentially out of it. So having decided that there will be a reconciliation of operating cash flow from operating activities to profit, the question is how much detail do you want within that? We know that, for example, cash collected from customers is one metric that investors seem to value and is very often referred to. But it's quite tricky to judge exactly what are the benefits of disclosing more, and also what are the costs. And you know, we discussed it with the Preparers Forum, for example, and I think there were a variety of views there, ranging from well, we do it anyway, all the way through to we can't really give much more than we do at the moment. Related to that, as to which line items, the also question is well. Are there easier ways of getting equivalent information? Could you simply disclose related working capital? So should we split out receivables from customers from other receivables? If you did that, you would improve people's ability to estimate cash collected from customers a bit, but they'd have to work on assumptions about what the movements are. And the most obvious assumptions to make are that the increases are due to sales and the decreases are due to cash, so you can work out what the cash is that way. Or we could require all movements on certain components to be disclosed, and that would obviously be very onerous and really very granular disclosure. So how far should we go, and what is important is really the number of the questions on slide 13. So a number of points to think about. Is it just cash collected from customers? Is the value in disclosing other line items? Cash paid to employees, for example, might be suggested. If so, is it really important to require disclosure of a cash flow? Or would we be content and would there be benefit in going back only to some form of changes, disclosure of changes in working capital.
Thank you. As for the gross information of running items, it may be worthwhile considering whether to require them on selected basis, but this should be carefully considered in light of cost-benefit perspective. With regard to the information about movement in working capital, we agree that such information may be useful for users. However, we do not think that that information is the most important information against the objectives of cash flow statements.
Any other comments? Yes, Russ?
So, personally, I like the idea of not requiring the direct statement of cash flows. That said, in our not-for-profit, I was in the minority, and the majority of the board, and what we will expose is that at least for not-for-profits, a requirement to do direct statement of cash flows. When you reconcile that to what we learned in our staff drive of the financial performance project, the difficulty and the cost to do the direct statement of cash flows was disproportionately to long, large multinationals that were decentralized, which is not the case in a lot of not-for-profits. Also, governmental accounting in the U.S. is direct statement of cash flow is required. And so we may have a divide in U.S. GAAP going forward where not-for-profits would be required to do direct statement of cash flows and for-profits would not. I also personally like your idea in your paper about a separate line item for cash flows associated with income tax and not dividing that between operating, investing, finance, because your cash outflow or potential inflow in any one period is dependent upon all three of the categories. So I like that idea of distinguishing that in a specific line item.
Well, I just question, I mean, a lot of not-for-profits are multinationals these days. I mean, there's a lot of big ones.
Yeah, I'll bring Tom up because he's in the majority. I mean, I actually like the reconciling aspects of the indirect statement of cash flow, and I like how the direct cash flow requires you to reconcile, but sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
You like, sorry, what did what
I like the fact that the indirect statement of cash flow is in essence reconciles net income to operating cash flows. I think that is a powerful thing, and it helps you understand what is basically your cash earnings, for lack of better words. And the direct statement of cash flows, I think, gives you different information, but I like the fact that it, if you do direct, you have to reconcile. We'd be taking that reconciliation requirement away in the not-for-profit. A lot of people think the reason the not-for-profits who have the option today to direct statement of cash flows aren't doing it is because of the requirement to do the reconciliation.
Okay.
Seems to be. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Break now? Yeah, we do, but we're running 10 minutes.
We're running a little bit, yeah. So let's break till 25 to 11. Thank you.